You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, proud to bring you our weekly news recap for the week of the 6th of October. It's a short week this week, but it's been a bit of a long day already because it was a bit of a long night last night, right, Mark?
Yeah, it sure was. We managed to get ourselves to the REI New South Wales Awards last night. Had a great night.
Yeah, it was a good night. It was good to see everybody all frocked up and looking good.
A lot of people in fine form, I reckon.
Yes, a lot of people in fine form. And obviously, congratulations to all the award winners. We took some nice photos and we've sort of put those up on our website, especially to one of our favourites in the industry, Charles Tarby, well-deserving winner of the Woodrow Wade Award.
Yeah, congratulations, Charles. I think there were a lot of winners of the night, and I think, you know, so a lot of people were celebrating very hard.
Yeah, well, I think one of the big winners on the night too was Sandra Sully.
Everyone loves Queen Sandra, don't we?
I love Sandra Sully, and you know, she was a winner on the night because I don't know how many people actually said that they had schoolboy crushes on her as they were going up to receive their awards. I don't know about schoolboy crushes, but I mean, I'm wearing my hair like Sandra today just because I can. You know, we all want to be Sandra. Anyway, it was a great night last night, so good to be along for that one.
The Queensland A-list has been announced. They're obviously not awards yet. But they've been announced for the gongs.
So the A-list is like one of those things that you can't be nominated for. Like, you know, like most awards, you know, people sort of wonder how, you know, you get in and stuff like that. But, you know, like most times you've actually got to fill in a form and pay some money, and then somebody from that range of entry forms will judge you on certain criteria. Yep. But whereas this A-list is based on Price Finder data. So, and it only happens, I think, in Queensland. I mean, I think REA would do their own, but so this only happens in Queensland. Now, it was 150 salespeople in no particular order. Does it sound like
sounds like something from Idol.
It's funny, a couple of people wrote in to me and said, well, so-and-so is missing from the list and this person's missing from the list and that person's missing from the list. Okay, so it's really important to point out about these lists. So this list is based on data, but it's based on Price Finder data. Mm. Like, that's very important because Price Finder's data is different to CoreLogic's data, is different to, say, rent.com.au's data. And when you're sort of looking at data, the data is going to be as good as what the people know about. So that's number one. And, of course, number two is only salespeople can enter it. So if you've got a director or a manager or someone like that that happens to be, you know, like, oh, let's take Matty Lancashire, for example, he'd have to be, like, up there but wasn't on the A-list.
Because his name's on the door.
Yeah, because his name's on the door. So, you know, like, it's a bit of an interesting list. And I tell you what, there was a lot of people that were sort of interested in who was on it this week, just judging by hits on the website.
So that was New South Wales and Queensland done. Over to the west, REWA had their awards for excellence as well. And REMAX, they were named ninth consecutive year in a row for being a leading real estate franchise. So now this is
a American-based, yeah. So Franchise Times is an American-based thing. Yeah, so congratulations to all of this week's award winners. We must be sort of coming
awards
to
for everyone.
We must be coming to the end of awards season, although, you know, like, you never know, there's probably still a few to go. But a couple of things, you know, I guess in the Department of Doing Good this week. So REA was accredited as being a white ribbon workplace, and we were down at REA this week doing Cool's Coach Spotlight for Transform coming up. So he's going to be talking about different landlord and tenant archetypes and how to recognise and appeal to all of them, and that's coming up. But what's really interesting is their staircase, yeah? Like, yep. You walk in there and it's definitely a case of love is love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they've got that big, beautiful staircase that sort of goes up the top, and now they've got that great breakout area to the side where Woolworths used to be.
Yeah, it's a great collaborative area down there. But yeah, great accreditation for them for the White Ribbon Workplace. Talking about White Ribbons, Harcourts, they've reached a milestone of $5 million worth of raising money for worthy causes in Australia, New Zealand and South Africa.
Mm. Part of that them, being the White Ribbon Foundation.
White Ribbon Foundation, yeah.
Yeah, so, good job for them too. So that's probably about it in terms of awards. Now, also this week in Movers and Shakers, so we've got Gavel, which is a live streaming auction app. They've secured $1.8 million funding from maybe an unlikely suspect, but Jeff Harris, who's actually the founder of Flight Centre.
Yeah, so he's put his hand in the pocket there for a Series A. So I think, you know, there's some great things going on with Gavel. They've had a lot of
live streaming options.
Yeah, live streaming options. I think it's quite an interesting one. And also just on people putting their hands in the pocket, ANZ bought Realaz for a lofty sum of $6 million. So when there's an app out there and or a business model out there that is going to help an organisation to get into a different adjacency, or they see there's value there, I think there's no shortage of people, you know, sort of to look at what they can do there. I mean, when we were at Inman, there was a whole stream dedicated to venture capitalists.
Yeah, and it's interesting that ANZ, you know, have gone down this path. I mean, obviously we hear the word agile a lot. They're trying to branch out into different things, and they're trying to sort of behave more like a tech company now than a bank, and that probably, you know, is a sign of the times, trying to be more innovative. And they say that, of course, Realaz is probably the first predictive algorithm in Australia to try and predict what the real sale price is going to be based on, you know, the local area and competition and all that sort of thing. So, I mean, look, that's interesting, but I suppose we're sort of coming around the corner, like, you know, the car's coming around, what is it, Hot Rod Straight or whatever, in Bathurst this weekend. Like, you know, obviously you're going to be sitting in front of the telly probably for most of it. Thank God we got that issue into the printer when we did. But so, you know, like coming around the corner to the technology issue, which is coming up, obviously this is once just gone to the printer. It should be out sometime next week to you guys. It is our annual technology and innovation issue. So we've pulled apart a lot of what franchise people are doing. I mean, you know, Charles Tarby last night, John Cunningham did recognise him for being an innovator, and we've got a lot of stuff in the magazine from him. We've got stuff coming from, you know, we talked to some of the guys at Ray White. We talked to all sorts of people. And as part of it, we kind of looked at this, you know, future tech horizons, like what is on the horizon in terms of new ways of buying and selling, because that's a real trend that we're seeing, right? Like we're seeing that people aren't just sort of going and buying a house anymore. We're seeing different
ways, models of being able to
particularly,
buy a house,
particularly to solve that problem of saving for a deposit and that sort of thing. So over the next week online, we'll be doing a special called Challenge or Opportunity. And we've all had a bit of a hand in this, both Sarah and Azul and myself, just looking at new ways of buying and selling and investing in real estate. So interestingly, there's this thing, I mean, just, and this is sort of on the topic of Realaz, so I'm going to land the plane shortly.
Land
the plane. One of the things that, you know, you'll see online from early next week is something called House Canary. So Realaz predicts the sale price of the property that's on the market, but House Canary predicts the resale price in X years' time.
That's crazy stuff, isn't it?
That is crazy stuff, and we'll talk more about that next week. That's just to whet your appetite. But this week we kind of got online with a new service called Esquire. And so what that does, again, is it's a bit like that whole theory of people that can't save for a deposit. Is they, what they're saying is, let's just say in inverted commas, they're extending the settlement period to 10 years.
So we're not talking 30-day settlement period, we're talking 10-year settlement period.
Yeah, and so you actually sort of agree the buy price at the time that you exchange, but actually somebody else is putting up the capital for the deposit, and then you're paying them, you know, rent plus a saving amount, so that you actually are able to save for your deposit, let's say, while you're living in your own house. And it's a win for the buyer because they're not needing to, you know, come up with the money straight away and mortgage insurance and all that sort of stuff. And then on the investor side, they're actually getting a premium and they're getting a dedicated tenant. You know, and I think all of this is, I mean, you know, like we're going to see a pattern here evolve over the next week, I think, of seeing property management, like investors and sales, getting closer together. And I think that's inevitable. And that's, in fact, one of the trends that I'll be talking about at How to Lead a Winning Team.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think, you know, sort of one of the things that we see commonly or raised very regularly is the opportunities of being able to have that the sales side of the business and the property management side of the business working, you know, working
hand
closer together. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that Fiona's very, very passionate about and spoken a number of times.
Yeah, we know Fee's passionate about it. And I mean, you know, it's like Sam Kekovich, you know, it just makes sense, although a lot of people don't do it. But I actually think, you know, like I don't want to use the word disruption because, you know, like, I just think that's a scary word that we're kind of a bit desensitized to now, which almost means nothing.
Yeah.
Except things are changing. Mm. And, you know, the change that I sort of see happening, or one of the changes I see happening, is that sales and property management will be forced to get closer as these creative models of coming up with a deposit and involving people that want to invest in property with people that, you know, want to get on the property ladder. I think we're going to see more and more of them. We saw one last week with that Airbnb model.
Yeah, and this one with the extended settlement. And throughout the week, we're going to have a couple of extra additional stories that are going to come out underneath that banner.
Yeah. Now, the old version of that, of course, is this thing called rent vesting.
Yes. So we had a bit of a piece that came in from Moser, who basically looked at a few different areas that are most affordable from a rent vesting side of things. So rent vesting, again, is renting where you want to live, but investing in the area where you can afford.
Mm, yeah, and so they came up with the top rent vestment suburbs.
Yeah, under 600 grand across the country. So the majority of them are all outer metro rings.
And again, let's caveat this by saying that it's their data, not broad data. It's their data.
This information has been brought to you by Mosul.
Thank you.
Yeah, but the areas, I mean, they went around the country. So, West Australia, Queensland, they had to go to a unit in New South Wales. So Liverpool was, they weren't able to find an appropriate house under the cap they were looking for, which I suppose, again, is a sign of the times. But, all of them were out of metro areas and a lot of information there as well.
Yeah, which is all sorts of make sense with all the other patterns that we're seeing in all the other areas. So not been, a completely quiet week, but obviously a shorter week with the public holidays and things like that and everyone going football crazy. But we did sort of have a couple of specials in Transform as well this week. So first of all, Fiona Blaney, who can sort of add things up faster in her head than Rain Man, she baffles me on the good days even. But so she sort of pulled the Transform Masters teams together and said, right, how many of you have actually got a budget? And if you don't have one, here are some worksheets to get one. And can you rattle off? It was a bit like Josh Fegan a few years ago in Transform when he sort of said, right, you people, name me the 15 people on your hot prospect list, or your 15 top either sellers or buyers, without looking at your phone.
Write them down.
Write them down now. Mm. And so Fiona basically took the same approach with these guys in terms of what do you want the number of properties to be on your rent roll, what number of let onlys are you going to be doing, what is your current dollar revenue, and if you can't sort of bang that, who are your 15 VIP clients? Again, she even asked that.
Well, all the questions were very relevant for who our Transform participants are this year, which are sort of business leaders. Mm. So whereas the lesson from Josh was around sales Transform.
Yeah.
So this is very, very pertinent as the type of information that you should have on the front of mind as to the health state of your business.
Well, I think any business, like who are your top 15 clients? Right. Let's rattle them off now. If you're looking in any way to tweak the numbers on your property management business, it's worth checking out that podcast from Fiona, because there's a lot in there, particularly, if you're grappling with one of the things that really came out of that was the subject of whether you should hire a BDM or not.
Mm.
In property management. And I was pretty shocked at the return on investment of a BDM if you've got KPIs that work and
also the support structure behind it, so yeah, that when the business comes in, you're able to deal with it.
Yep. And Fiona's also sort of said that if there is anyone out there that wants copies of her worksheets and things like that, just to email her, fiona@realplus.com.au, and she'll get in touch.
And links below.
Links in the show notes below. That's Fiona. And also we had Tara Bradbury. So again, Tara was a bit of a late addition in the coaching arena for Transform Masters. And do you remember, on the way in, we asked our masters when they applied, what were their burning questions? What could we really help them with? And A couple of the questions were sort of to do with, you know, like most of them said, I want to double my rent roll or I want to increase my rent roll or whatever. There was a lot of that. And so who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters, but you're going to call Tara Bradbury, right?
And yeah, so it was a really interesting session. So we titled that one Starting From Scratch and Building a Pipeline. But it was more around, you know, so how you're actually building the steps you go through to actually building your business. And there were some very practical and actionable tips in that lesson.
Oh, definitely. And we threw some really tough ones at her too. Like I actually said, okay, we've got Tara in now for you specifically to the Transform Masters crew. Now, what do you want to know from her? And basically there was a list of questions as long as my arm.
Mm.
But, you know, like, how do you leverage social media? How do you handle the investor that wants to make a deal? What are the warning signs that you might not want to take on a listing, like, et cetera, et cetera. So there was actually so much that I recorded a separate Q&A with her as a podcast, which we'll have out in the next couple of weeks, just so that you guys who are sort of listening along at home or even playing along at home with our masters, Tara was gracious enough to answer all of those questions.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So just an absolute amazing knowledge there in both of our coaches this week, both Fiona and Tara. And also with Tara, she's got her 6-week challenge. Like, so every week the masters, they get homework to do. Tara's actually got a 6-week growth challenge going on at the moment. And if you want to be a part of that as well, I think get in touch with Tara. At BDM Academy, she's on Facebook, and we'll have a link below.
Yeah, but there's a link for the actual Facebook post around that one as well.
I would call that the tough mutter of rent roll growth. Yeah, that one,
absolutely.
Like if you go through all the steps, like there's no way that
So Fiona's podcast came out this week. Link below, and Tara is coming out next week.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that in the brief, because I think you'll get a lot out of it.
Yeah, auctions were really quiet last weekend, as we know, because of the football, and they've ramped back up again this weekend, right?
Yep, clearly more people interested in watching the football than they are watching the car screen around Bathurst.
Yep.
Is going to
horses
be
for courses.
Yeah, horses for courses. Yeah. So ended up being just under 1,000 auctions last week. Back up over 2,000 this week. Similar numbers from this time last year. So 2,118 auctions this week. Last year there was 2,290. Final clearance rates, not really much movement there. Mm. Yeah, sort of 66%. Just for comparison, last year was 76%, so around about a 10-point difference there in the auction numbers.
100% in Tasmania, though, one from one.
One from one.
100% clearance rate. How do you like that?
According to
my numbers.
Also, we had the Home Value Index came out for September. Again, pretty flat. It was a 0.2% increase over the month. I think it was actually, you know, sort of flatlined last month.
Isn't it interesting? Like, you know, you see the headlines screaming Sydney's going downhill or flatlining or, you know, whatever. But in actual fact, it was houses. Like, so in actual fact, Sydney, I mean, it's flat, right? But in Sydney, in apartments, they still increased slightly. Mm. It was actually, you know, freestanding dwellings, which kind of brought the whole thing down a bit. So, but then, you know, you got to remember too that there is a $300,000 price difference between, say, an apartment in Sydney and a house.
Yep.
So it's flatlining a bit, but if there was headlines this week, which there were probably a few here, there and everywhere, you know, it's possibly designed to get someone to click on it.
So without needing to click on it, the highlights: Hobart up, that was the best performing capital city. Hobart up 3.4, weakest
Hobart's
performing.
Always the standout.
I know. Tim Lawless called it out to us probably about 2 years ago when we asked him a question. If you had a, you know, sort of spare $500,000 or whatever to throw in the market, where would you put it? And he straight off.
He doesn't like answering those sorts of questions.
Yeah. Well, he said it to us, though.
Quietly. And now
Hobart. Anyway, he said straight away, no hesitation, Hobart. And, you know, sort of Sam and myself looked at each other and scratched our head and thought, yeah, okay.
What's the weather like?
Yeah. but, you know, so it's come home to roost. So Hobart, best performing. Darwin was the most challenged, down 4%. But then on the flip side, they had the highest rental yield of 5.7% and the lowest rental yield in Melbourne of 2.9%.
Yeah, so that's a pretty solid wrap up there, and I think that's about it for us this week. We're going to keep it short and sweet and get on with our weekend and let you guys get on with your busy weekends. What are you up to this weekend?
Sitting in front of the box, Sammy.
Yeah, I thought you might be. All right, I'm off to the shops. We'll catch you all next week.
Have a great weekend, guys.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.